Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press. It's our Wednesday show for the Valero Texas Open. We'll get you ready with our final card for the week there. We also have LIV Golf Orlando, which starts on Friday. And then we've got a couple of other events on the dock at the LPGAs out in Los Angeles for the first of two events in about a month span. And then the Astara Chile Classic is on the Korn Ferry Tour. Just for the record, we're not going to bet the Korn Ferry Tour. I'll give you some odds, but we are absolutely not betting the Korn Ferry Tour with actual U.S. dollars, or any other currency for that matter, depending if you're an international listener or not. So let's get into where we're at, top of the table, make our picks for the week for the Valero Texas Open. Hatton's still 12-1. I believe he is unbettable. I don't care if he has a magical recovery and wins. Okay, that happens. Ricky Fowler at 18-1, I think is worth looking at. I'd rather look at him for a top 10 than a win. It's too short for a win bet to me. I mean, given Ricky Fowler hasn't won in, well, way too long, what, 6 years? And then 5 years. You've got Siwoo Kim at 22-1. He's my guy. I think he's got to be a guy you got to look out for this week. At 22-1, I like him better than Hideki. I like him better than Corey Connors. He has become more consistent. He isn't throwing away as many strokes. All those are good things. I think he's worth looking at. Taylor Montgomery is 25-1. I have heard plenty of cases against him, including from our friends at Lost for Words, which airs on Golf News Net Radio, and you can find that at golfnewsnet.com if you want to listen on demand. Basically, that their argument is he's a stinky iron player who's a really good putter, and that's largely true. I mean, he drives it pretty wayward, but he hits it far enough to get away with it. Not necessarily the best iron player there is, but if you can hit a lot of flip wedges this week, I think he gives himself a pretty good chance, and I feel like that's kind of what he did at the Sony Open. Didn't work out at the end, but I think that's kind of his recipe for success. Make a whole ton of putts, hit good enough drives, hit short irons that are good enough. A lot of people should like Chris Kirk this week at 28-1, and I think for good reason. He has not been good the last couple of times out. I think that would be the only caveat here, but I really do like his chances to win against a weaker field. I don't like the notion that if you've gotten your win, especially a redemptive one or one you haven't had in a long time, that that's the one you get. Think about Harris English in the 2021 that he had. I think you can kind of see a similar arc here with Chris Kirk, and I would totally understand if he won this tournament. Matt Kuchar, 30-1, playing good golf, horse for course play, got out of the group stage last week, probably has to feel some confidence from that, maybe perceives a potential move into the Masters with a win, potential move into the top 50 into the world. With a win, I could get behind supporting that. I'm not going to bet Ryan Fox, but I think a lot of people should consider him for future bets. I would go down the board a little bit more to Thomas Dietrich at 45-1. He just keeps playing really good golf, and I know he's going to eventually figure out how to win on this tour. And I know he has a lot of almosts and close calls on the DP World Tour in his history, and that's the big reason not to bet him every time out. And if you don't like that, bet him for a top 5 at 10-1 or a top 10 at 450. Completely makes sense to me. If you like Cam Davis, I bet him on a top 10 this week, not to win. Just my personal thoughts on the guy. Aaron Rye is someone a lot of people I think are going to like. He has gotten consistently shorter. He started the week at 70. He is now 55. People see it. It's the kind of the makeup of a guy that's a good ball striker. Not the best short game. He's won in windy conditions on the DP World Tour. I think it's a little too short at this point, but I can understand putting some money on him. Taylor Pendrith at 70-1, going there. I'm going to stick with the Canadian. I've talked myself into it. Going on preferred lines with Joe Idon. I help things out there. And I think that play makes a whole lot of sense, given that if he drives the ball well enough, he's going to have kind of the same situation as Taylor Montgomery. Now, obviously, Taylor Pendrith is not the same kind of putter as Taylor Montgomery. But I think if you keep that all in perspective, he's a reasonable wager. Will Gordon's a play I like. I've debated making that. He hasn't really moved enough to make it matter. Garrick Higgo, though, is of interest to me at 90-1. Same kind of theory of the case. Can bang it far. Is playing better golf. More consistent golf. Gaining strokes on the field. Tee to green. Those are good things for him. A guy that has won on the PGA Tour in the past, I can support that. And he's done it against a field of about this caliber. I think a lot of people are going to be on Ben Martin this week for good reason, playing good golf. Had a good week last week at a place he likes. I don't think he's going to win, but I could get behind him on a top 10 for plus 750 money. Akshay Bhatia has gotten shorter. He's now 100-1. People just love betting this dude. I don't see that being that much of a big difference in value. I would have bet him here. If you're going to bet him at 100, you loved him at 150. I'm going to stay away from him. My longer shot play I really like is Lanto Griffin. Had a really nice start last week. Again, trying to kind of make the comeback from injury to getting back to where he was as a former PGA Tour winner. I like his form. I like that he's taking the right approach and just trying to get good competition, good starts in to give himself an opportunity to make this comeback. If you don't like him at 130-1 or you want to pair him each way, I like the top 10s this week when some of these guys are a little bit longer. I want to bet Pearson Cootie. I haven't yet. He hasn't really moved, so I don't think that's going to make a big difference. I think some people are going to... I've seen some arguments for Kramer Hickok. I think the argument was last week at Punta Cana. He is playing better, though. He is playing fairly consistent golf and making checks. If you want to like him, one of the top 20 even this week, I could absolutely get behind that. And I'm going to stick with my Patrick Harrington play. Might put like $5 on it at most. And I could see the same thing for Lucas Glover. He's a horse for course play here, and that's really all he is. But at 180-1, and one of the few guys who actually plays this tournament well that's not gone to live, that's not the scariest thing. If you look at his last month or so of starts, T36 at the Valspar, T51 at the Players, missed the cut of API, and whatever, I don't care about that, and Genesis, Phoenix T39. So, I mean, he's not playing phenomenal golf, but that's just deep enough where he's got to have something, some positive stuff to take away from things. So I'm willing to look there and consider that. And then I think I'd probably leave everybody else alone. Other than a guy I think I should point out here is Callum Tarran. And I've pointed him out in the past. I've liked him in the past. I really liked him last year for the 3M Open. Didn't quite pan out in the end. And he's only got one top 10 on the season. So there's a reason why he's in the 200-ish range for the week. And he has missed five cuts in a row. He's not playing the best golf. But if he can just not blow up on Fridays, he'll be okay. But right now he is not playing good golf. But that could turn on a dime. If you want the guy who could turn it on a dime and win this tournament, there's your guy at 250-1. I like that. So maybe put a little $5 lottery ticket on him. If it pays off, you get a nice payout at the end. Matchup bets. Some of you like those. I don't necessarily care for them, but tournament matchups is where I would stick for the week. Ben Griffin -120 over Sam Ryder for a full tournament bet. I can like that. I think Ricky Fowler and Siwoo Kim. I'm going to take Siwoo Kim at -120, which I think that tells you something about how the market perceives Siwoo Kim at 22-1 and Ricky Fowler at 18-1. Ricky Fowler is public money. If you bet this particular instance, Siwoo Kim's the favorite. So I think you want to take a look at Siwoo Kim here at -120. Aaron Rye -140 very much interests me against Will Gordon. Chris Kirk and Taylor Montgomery is an interesting wager. I would probably side with Kirk here, but we're talking about the same guy in terms of how the market perceives them this week. Kevin Streelman +105 against Patrick Rogers is -125. That one is also of interest to me. I would bet Kevin Streelman there just on a horse for course kind of play. If you want to look at make miscut bets, could be kind of interesting here this week. You're going to get some decent money. Tyrrell Hatton +350 I think is worth looking at to miss the cut. If he still is injured as he looked at the match play, that is absolutely in play and a possibility. And that's probably your best miscut bet. I don't think the others are going to miss the cut at that high of a number. I could see Davis Riley or Andrew Putnam not getting through. I could see Alex Noren not getting through. Nick Taylor +175 not getting through. Will Gordon +150 not getting through. I could see that as well. Tournament props. We talked about this on the other day's show, but winning margin, keep hammering it. Two strokes exactly is +350. That is the last 4 years of this tournament. It's been one or two in the last 10 years, with one exception, 2015, Jimmy Walker. One and two, I like those wagers. Even if you put them at one full same size unit bets, if one of them hits, and obviously other outcomes are possible, but they hit, you're still going to come out ahead with your mini arbitrage or your mini arbitrage opportunity. Anything other than that, I don't, the double chance and triple chance stuff, I don't particularly care for. There are some triple chance golfers here, but again, why wouldn't you just put a third on these guys and just see if it works? I don't understand that. It's just kind of for lazy folks. Make your own triple chance. Make your own double chance. Just bet the same guys and give yourself the opportunity on whatever wager size you would like. Nationality props are sometimes interesting. The American one, it almost never is. But on the Canadian side, you are getting some interesting money on Taylor Pendrith to be the low Canadian at plus 275. I think that's worth a look this week. He's only got to beat Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, and Michael Gligic. Michael Gligic has not done anything, so he's got to beat Corey Connors and Nick Taylor. I think he can do that. South African market, Garrick Higo plus 400. I absolutely could see him beating every South African in the field very easily, including Christian Bezuidenhout and Erik van Rooyen, who are slightly ahead or significantly ahead in Bezuidenhout's case at plus 200. Garrick Higo plus 400, top South African. I like that play as well. Okay, let's touch briefly on the LIV tournament in Orlando. You're not going to see a whole lot of public action here, just being truthful, but Cameron Smith and Joaquin Neiman are 12-1, Dustin Johnson 10-1. Dustin Johnson did get his tour card here back in the day. That was, what, 16 years ago, 17 years ago? So I don't think you get a whole lot of out of that, but hey, that's fine if you're interested in that. I think Brendan Steele is worth a look at 22-1, which is weird to say. He's one of the few guys who's been significant to both tournaments so far that's been played. And, you know, he doesn't really, he's kind of streaky. He goes on streaks, so maybe it ends here, but I think he's worth playing while he's playing good golf. Charles Howell III has played well. I mean, he is mopping it up on LIV. 18-1 is worth a look. Beyond that, do you want to go too deep and take Danny Lee, who just won the last one? It seems to be revitalized and playing pretty well. I could get behind that quite a bit. And then you start to get really in some deep water very quickly. But one guy I do want to point out this week at 65-1 is Andy Ogletree. Andy Ogletree was the laughingstock of LIV for playing that first event, losing his PGA Tour card, or access his membership. He didn't have a card. And then he was kind of in this weird limbo, and all of a sudden he found a place to play in the Asian Tour and has won multiple international series of events. I can very much see him winning this golf tournament. It seems like a lot of the top players are not in form. They're not doing a whole lot. 65-1, Andy Ogletree is absolutely worth a look this week, in my opinion. And then I will give you a couple of odds for the Astara Chile Classic. I don't know much about this golf course. I'm pretty sure it's a new venue, or it's been a renamed venue, but Chris Goddard is interesting to me at 28-1, I suppose. Maybe Rafa Campos at 45-1. Beyond that, I really have a hard time kind of getting on guys who have just traveled, many of them from Savannah, Georgia, down to Chile, on just a few days, you know, a day or two after playing in the United States, going that far. That's a haul. I don't care how well-traveled you are, or how well you handle travel. That's a long way to go. So I would probably leave well enough alone this week, just kind of not knowing, but that's just me. And then want to come back to the LPGA event just briefly, the DIO Implant LA Open. Lydia Ko is plus 750. I think in LPGA land, that is a reasonable value for a player that good. She's playing great golf. Lilia Vu and Jin Young Ko, 12-1, I think are worth a play. I think Maja Stark is always worth a play until she kind of starts to get more respect on these betting lines. 35-1 is worth a look. Same thing with Hannah Green. I think at 45, I tend to bet her a lot, though. And then Ashley Buhai at 55-1. Already won this year. Won her National Open. Playing pretty okay golf. Didn't have a great week last week, but is playing pretty okay golf. Okay, that's going to do it for us this week on the press. Good luck for you this week on all of your wagers. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. I'm going to put out my I'm of two Masters models. Did this last year. I'm going to do it again this year. We're going to have a regular Masters model, just like we do every week. And then we're going to have a Masters-specific model, which we ran last year, which worked out extremely well. Extremely well. So hopefully it works well again this year. So you have two to choose from and kind of marry the two if you wish. But I think I would rely on that Masters-only model and bet with that. And then take a look at our article for the top 10 players, the only 10 players in my view, who can probably win the Masters given the long-term trajectory of player strokes gained tee to green and what that means for performance in the Masters. That'll do it again for the rest of this week. We'll be back on Monday. We will try to have more shows next week, probably a Thursday-Friday show as well, just to kind of talk about where things are in the tournament because there's a history of the Masters in being in position after round one to give yourself a chance. And that sets up live betting opportunities, potentially that lines up with our modeling and also just being able to see if the market figures out that trend and prices it accordingly. We will catch you on Monday. Have a great week. Can't wait for the Masters. Hope your bets cash very, very, very plentiful this week. And we will talk to you on Monday with the press.